Amen. It's the works. Working right now. It ought to be working in your life. It hasn't lost its power. And that's a good thing. We throw stuff away when they lose their power. Your batteries, if they ain't rechargeable, you get done with a battery, you don't keep it. Throw it away. Car don't work and you're tired of fixing it, get rid of it. Amen. Microwave lost its power, you get rid of it. It ain't worth fixing. Amen. Amen. Thank God for everything that's been done today, and God has been good, and this is Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
You know, I watch it when they do Super Bowl Sunday, they're on ESPN, 8 o'clock in the morning,
all day,
when the game over, they interviewing and talking
all day.
This is the greatest day in the history of the church.
Yes, it is.
All Christianity, all that we believe, it's founded on the resurrection. On the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we don't have nothing to talk about. We will not have nothing to praise God about. Because if Jesus Christ had not risen, we can't worship a dead God. We can't worship at all. Amen. Amen. I have a lot of scriptures, and I'm just going to bounce around because I just want to talk today about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does it mean? What does the Word of God say about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's the key. It's not what man say, not what I say. What does the Word of God say about the resurrection? Paul said we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's all we did. So I don't have a scripture per se, but I'm going to look at one. Of my seven here, and it is 1 Corinthians 15. I believe this one really says it all. So let's all stand as we read God's inspired holy word. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read 3 through 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of the greatest texts in the Word of God. On the resurrection. And I was looking at it last night and said, man, I don't want to read it all as I go through, but I get an opportunity now to read 17 of the greatest verses that the great apostle Paul wrote. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read 1 through 17. And what an awesome text. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which you are saved. Don't miss that. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
To the Scriptures. Come on,
and that He was buried.
Come on.
And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God.
Yes, sir.
But by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than all they.
What? Come on. I labored.
Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God.
Amen.
Because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you
for your word, Father God. It stands on its own. It needs no exegesis. It needs no help. You are God of all. And we believe that you died and that you rose on the third day. And that you were seen of Cephas, and you were seen by 500, and then you were seen by your brother James, and then last of all, you were seen by Paul.
Come on now.
Father God, we believe in the resurrection.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Father God, we thank you.
Thank you.
For not only coming to this filthy, wretched earth, and walking it for 3.5 years, and then allowing yourself to be mocked and abused and persecuted and scorned and ridiculed, spit on, slapped around, scourged, and then placed on a wicked, cruel cross. And then sitting in a hot Palestinian sun for 3 hours. And then being taken up and placed in a bomb tomb. Oh, Father God, but on the third day, you rose out of that grave with all power. With all power. And Father God, we thank you for the power that you've given us. Because when we were lost and dead in our trespasses and sins, the same power that God used to raise you, you used to raise us. And we thank you for raising us today.
Thank you,
Father God, that right now we are still dead in our sins. But we are alive unto you. And we just want to say thank you this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All of Christianity, not a part of it, not a piece of it, but all of Christianity is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. All of it. And I just want to talk about really 7 parts of Christianity. 7 times where God speaks so boldly and so clearly about the resurrection. And the first scripture I want to use is 2 Timothy. And we're going to pop through some scriptures today, try to keep everybody working. It's been a long day, but we're going to get through. But I just want to sit here and talk about the foundation of all biblical teaching. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 8 through 12. And I'm going to go through these scriptures and then talk about them, because it is important that we know about the resurrection. What it means. And I know we sometimes we like preachers to hop around, and we go home empty-headed. And when we go home and everybody was dressed nice and we had Easter baskets, and that's all fine. So when somebody says, what does the resurrection mean? What does it mean? All this, you got some unsaved friends that's going to say, what does it mean when Jesus was resurrected? And you know what they said? That means jelly beans and Easter bunnies and dressing nice and getting new shoes. And that's not. It is the foundation of all biblical teaching. Paul said we preach Christ and Him crucified. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. It says, remember. Don't forget this. He said, remember this. That Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And Paul not said it's his gospel. He said, but according to the gospel that I preach. Remember blind Bartimaeus, he was on the side of the road. And all these fake Jesus was coming, believe me that. Jesus wasn't the only one at that day in them times called Jesus. He said, Jesus, Son of David. And the Bible said Jesus stopped in his tracks and called this man and gave him his sight back. He says, remember verse 8, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And Paul preached Christ, was crucified. And when you do, folks don't want to hear it. Why? How do I know that? Look at verse 10. Look at verse 9. When I suffer trouble, preach God's word, live God's word, live God's life, you're going to suffer some trouble. And he was called an evildoer. Even on the cross, they locked Paul up for what? Preaching the gospel. Preaching a crucified Christ. Preaching a Christ that rose from the dead. He says, but the word of God is not bound. Couldn't stop it. Paul was saving folks even when he was locked up. Folks in prison was getting saved. He says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Here's what salvation is at, people. It's in Christ Jesus. And if we're going to obtain that salvation that's in Christ Jesus, we're going to have to be crucified also. And we're going to have to be raised up with Jesus Christ, because all truth is found in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says this, and this is important. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's a big must there. Because what he's saying here, everybody, it's going to be resurrected. Okay? Everybody is going to raise up out of the grave. Oh, don't miss that. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And some are standing on the bema seat. And some are going to be standing at the great white throne judgment. But you're going to be judged. Everybody's going to be judged based on their relationship with an all-knowing God. Not only is the resurrection the basis of all biblical teaching, the basis of all biblical truth, it is also the guarantee of our faith. It is a warranty. It is a warrant for our faith. It's a guarantee. But what do you mean, Pastor? It's a guarantee. The resurrection guarantees that we are the children of God. Look at Romans 10. Popular verse. We've looked at it many times. We've talked about Romans 10. Some of us know it by heart. Some of us know it by heart. But you know what? Having a head knowledge means nothing. You know, we talk about on Wednesday, we have tadpole Christians. Y'all have a tadpole, a real big head. Got all puffed up, big head, little body. Know all about the Word of God, but can't take it off the papers. Can't take it off the papers and apply it to their lives. Talk a good game. Some preachers say talking right. and walk in love. Look at this. Look at this familiar verse. Verse 10:9. Romans 10. That if thou shalt confess. There's our word again. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That word confess we talked about this morning. It is a plea. When you come into court, you want to be offered two pleas. You need to plead guilty or not guilty. And somebody said, well, you plead no contest, that's pleading guilty. That's what he's saying here. If thou, this is personal, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, where with thy mouth? Come on, out of the abundance of the heart. See, salvation is a heart thing. It's an inside job. It's not an outside job. It's what's happening on the inside. Salvation, and I say this all the time, and I hope one day, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, somebody say, well, every day you say that all the time. But salvation is a supernatural act of God whereby a person becomes a new creature. You get a new nature. And out of that new nature, it produces new stuff. So if you say you saved, you got a new nature, and it produces the same old mess, you guess what? You don't have a new nature. You have the old nature, you done dressed it all up. And it's producing the same mess, lying, stealing, cuffing, and all that.
Amen.
He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that what? That God hath raised him from the dead. You know 70% of all Christians don't believe in the resurrection? 50% of all Christians don't believe in the resurrection. It's a tough subject. It's a tough subject. It takes a supernatural act of God to give you the ability in your heart to accept biblical truth. We've seen that this morning. We were studying in the disciples walk with Jesus Christ, but until they seen the empty tomb and his body gone, they didn't believe. They knew about it. They had some understanding. We have the Word of God. And it takes the faith of God to believe this Bible. It takes the faith of God. I know some folks in here right now don't want to hear it, don't believe it. And it don't mean nothing to you. And I understand that. I pray that one day God will quicken you out of your deadness and raise you up so if you get an understanding of this word.
Amen.
Because like I always say, you want to believe. And you know, everybody in hell is born again. Everybody in hell believes in Jesus Christ. They just in hell. We don't believe in hell. What do we do here? Hell is real. Hell is real, like the south side. Like the north side. It's just as real as the Dairy Queen on the north side. Oh, y'all know about Dairy Queen on the north side. That's how real hell is. Watch this. He says that God had raised him from the dead. You have to believe that to be saved. Did y'all catch all that? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's the formula right there. There's such a thing. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Everybody say they say they saved. And if you fall in that category, you won't sit here and say, you know, I go to church. Going to church don't save you. Can you confess in your heart? Can you make that confession in your heart? Can you make that confession in your heart? 2 Timothy, 1 John 4, 1 and 2. We studied this thing long and hard. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets are going out into the world, and they're teaching a salvation that is not biblical. They're preaching a salvation where, you know, pray a prayer and water out and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you in. And many false prophets have gone out into the world, and they're in Youngstown, they're in Borden, they're in Liberty, they're in Canfield, they're in Campbell, they're in Poland. They're all over, and they're praying, teaching, everybody getting in. All you gotta do is pay your tithes and say a prayer. That's not biblical. Listen, we talked about it being a central core of the gospel. And that central core of the gospel, that word core, that's a medical word. It's like your spinal cord. If you do damage to your spinal cord, you're in trouble. You're gonna be crippled, possibly paralyzed, possibly you're gonna be bitter or maybe in a wheelchair. And you know what? If you don't get the central core of the gospel message right, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave, that's the whole gospel message. The whole gospel message, and a simple as that. People say, "What is the gospel?" And we ought to know. And you can do that test. What is the gospel? You know, getting baptized. You know, going to church. You know, all that kind of stuff. Singing in the choir. You know, I do. You know, the gospel is Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. That is the gospel. In a nutshell, that is the central core of the gospel. The central core of the gospel. So we see that the guarantee of our faith is that we confess Jesus Christ. Not only confess Him, but confess the fact that He rose from the grave. And you know what? The unsaved world will call you a whack job. You really think that Jesus Christ rose from the grave? That is not as easy to believe as we think. And you tell your unsaved friends that when I die, I'm going to rise from the grave, they're going to look at you like a fool. And God has to do the work on that individual. But you have to stand by the Word of God, because He did. And like Paul said, if He had not rose, then all my preaching is in vain, and all our faith is in vain, and we might as well do what we want to do. Because we're going to die just like them raccoons you see on the side of the road. And when it's all over, we just gonna sit on the side of the road. Swell all up. That's the truth. If there's no resurrection, do what you want to do.
Amen.
Live like you want to live. Because, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, because, you know, when you die, it's all over. It's gonna waste your time. But I don't believe that. It's not only that, it's the hope. It's the basis of all our hope. The resurrection is the basis of all our hope. So you say, what do you got hope in? We got hope in the resurrection. We got hope in when I leave this place, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. Oh, you sound like a crazy man. But that's the truth. That's the truth. I'm going to rise again. Preacher, you crazy, maybe. Maybe you go your way, I'm going mine. Look at 1 Thessalonians. This really speaks of it. It is the ground of our hope. We're going to talk some really good scriptures here. We're talking about this resurrection. And we see that word believe. That word believe is going to come up again. And when you see that word believe, that word means to accept as truth, to trust in it. And to put all your trust in, it's like you were sitting on a chair. You don't even think about that chair breaking down. You just pop it on down. Because you have trust in that chair. But you need to have the same trust in the Lord. Think about this. And then he's going to say, sleep in Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He said, which means you sleep in Jesus.
Yeah.
I circled that. I circled that. There's a whole lot of folks out there teaching some crazy stuff. See, we can sleep in Hare Krishna. We're not talking about sleeping in Hare Krishna. He's not talking about sleeping in Buddha. He's not talking about sleeping in Joseph Smith. He's not teaching about sleeping in Charles Russell. He's not talking about sleeping in the honorable Elijah Muhammad or the Pope or the Virgin Mary. He said, sleep in Jesus.
Yeah.
They don't even one man under heaven whereby man must be saved. Look at 1 Thessalonians 13. 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. This is why we teach it. And that's not a bad word to call somebody ignorant. And it's not, you just don't know. Somebody say, look, I need you to fix the motor on this airplane. I'm ignorant to that. Okay? So Paul's not using it in a bad way, but it's a shame when you have an ignorant church.
Amen.
Folks that don't want to be taught. Just don't want unteachable spirits. He says, for I would not have you be ignorant. Brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye serve not even as others which have no hope. See, when we believe the weak, when that guy, you know, you saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna never kneel down. No, never kneel down. You're gonna be alive somewhere. Oh, never kneel and die. I used to tell people on my job, I don't cut back money. Don't worry about talking about he died. I'm just gone. See, folks without hope, they can't mourn properly when you don't know where your loved one's at. And that's a sad thing. When you don't know where your loved one's at, and you just don't know. And we have to pay attention. Don't want to be ignorant. Talk to your loved ones. Talk to your loved ones. And if you got a loved one that you don't know where they're at, let me tell you something. They're hoping and praying, whether they're in glory or whether they're in hell. They're praying for you. They're praying for you that you get it right. Because I don't care. Your worst enemy don't want you to come to hell.
That's right.
And that great crowd of witnesses in heaven is cheering you on.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody ever played sports. I was a ran, and we used to run track, and I used to run the 440, and I used to anchor the mile relay back then. It was a 440. And they had a tunnel and ran. You run, you come down, you start off, and you go around that bend. And because I had home field advantage, especially when you had different folks, the schools coming didn't understand the tunnel, and they would take off like a rocket, and I'd take off in a rocket, and they would fly in the tunnel. By the time they come through the tunnel, I'd be right up on them. And then you get to that next tunnel around the bend, then you're ahead. And then, you know what used to give you that home field advantage? You know what used to cheer you on? When my brothers and sisters would be in the stands, and I'd hear them hollering, come on, baby, run, boy! Because in the 440, you ran it the wrong way. And you get down to the last 220, they used to say, that monkey getting on his back. You know? And I would see that monkey on his back, and I'd be passing, I'd say, the monkey on your back. You know? That monkey be on your back, and I'll be passing them up, you know. And they just started off strong, but they can't finish. But that great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Come on, homeboy, hang in there. He didn't endure to the end. Share and save. Endure. And that's what God is saying. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't let them folks talk you out of your salvation. Don't let them talk you into living like a fool. Get out of that sinful lifestyle. Get out of them sins. Live for me. That's that great cloud of witness. Look what he said. Verse 14. If we believe. That's interesting. That word believe. If we make that confession. If we believe that Jesus died. Oh, yes, he did. He died on the cross. And like I said, he stuck a spear through his side. Just to let you know, there was a real man on that cross. Wasn't no spear on that cross. Some of them religious teachers, there was a spear on the cross. Jesus had left in a spirit. No, it was a real man on the cross.
Real man.
And he rose again. Up from the grave. He arose. Then he said, even so them also which sleep. Oh, this is so good. Oh, that's all we're going to do. Even so them which sleep. How many here can't wait to go home and get some sleep?
Yeah.
How about you really want to go home and just kick your shoes off?
Yeah.
And get you some sleep.
Yeah.
My wife loves to sleep. She loves to sleep. You know? It says, but to sleep in Jesus. That's the key. That's the key, Margaret. To sleep in Jesus. Oh, you don't want to sleep with your pastor. And you don't want to sleep with your pastor. You don't want to sleep.
Amen. Amen.
You don't want to see. Can I tell the truth? I already said it now. Look, you don't want to see with nobody but your husband or Jesus. Because if you wake up in the bed dead with anybody else but your husband or Jesus, you got some problems. Sleep in Jesus. How? He said, sleep in Jesus. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's pretty blunt. That's pretty blunt. God ain't bringing you and all your girls. I don't care what Elijah Muhammad will teach you, man, when crack a plan into the World Trade Center, you're going to get 7 virgins. Yes. That makes no sense.
All right.
You need to be really drunk to believe that. And the Word of God said, no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Let's move on. Not only is the resurrection the foundation of all biblical truth, it's not only the guarantee of all our faith, it's not only the core of all the gospel, it's the ground of our hope, but also it is the forerunner of glory. Now, 1 Peter talks about this. 1 Peter chapter 1. I know we're jumping around a little bit like on Wednesday night, but you know, we're gonna get through this. And when you leave here today, you're going to know something about the resurrection. And that's a good thing. Because you will rise. You will rise. You're not going to stay in the ground. Look at verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. Talk about the resurrection again and Christ being our forerunner. He showed us the way. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Which according to his abundant mercy, God's abundant mercy, have begotten us again unto a lively hope. In other words, lively, we mean a living hope. See, while we living, we ought to have hope. Why? He said, he has begotten us again unto a living hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of Christ dying, and because of Christ being resurrected from the dead, we have hope that we will not die and stay in the ground, or we will not die and go to hell. That's our living hope. And that's something to live for. That's something to thank God for, having that living hope. You have a living hope. That if you were to die today, that's a good question, Pastor. Stop dying today. And in this world, somebody died every, I believe somebody said, every 40 seconds. Somebody died. And you know, your 40 seconds don't come. You leaving here. Nobody's getting out of here, right? But if you were to die today, do you have a living hope? Or do you just don't care? I don't care. All my friends in hell. They don't want to see you. Amen. He's the ground of our hope. He's the forerunner of our glory. The resurrection is the evidence of the supernatural. And I've talked about this before. Something supernatural has to happen to you. And I don't really like to talk about the supernatural, but we watch this stuff on TV because everything on TV is about the supernatural.
All right.
But we open the Bible up and talk about the supernatural, nobody want to hear it. There's something supernatural. Something supernatural had to happen to me. To get me out of the mess I was in, something supernatural had to happen. See, you're not in here saved if something supernatural didn't happen to you. See, we got loved ones, we got daughters and cousins and sons and uncles and aunts that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt for them to be delivered out of the mess they're in. Something supernatural has to happen. Something supernatural has to happen. I remember a song because a supernatural thing.
All
This is something different. I needed something supernatural to happen to me. Because I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the people shore. That's all I know. I'm going to get it one day. Look at Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians 1. This is what I'm talking about, this supernatural thing. And you may be sitting here, you know what? You ain't going to have nothing to do with it. When something supernatural happens to you, you're going to say, that what I used to do, I don't do no more.
Amen.
Okay? And you can't fight the supernatural. I was sitting there and walked last night. Cindy had me up last night. Come on. Oh, we can't go to bed until they part the Red Sea. It's 12:15. I got to see a part of the Red Sea. Now, I stayed up there. She's in the bathroom. She peeked out of the bathroom. Y'all ain't partying yet. So when they got to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army came up in the fireball. You know, this is a whole movie in that fireball. You know. And so the man was trying to be smart to Pharaoh. He wasn't saying that. When Pharaoh wasn't listening, he was like we was before something supernatural happened to us. And the man said, look, man, you can't fight God. That's what he said. He said, you can't fight God. And see, that's what some of us is doing in here. We're fighting God. God is saying, listen, you need to get yourself together.
Amen.
I ain't son God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I wish I could just every day take one of y'all with me. Spend a day with me, 8 hours. Just come sit in my office with me. I wish I could. I'm gonna see if I can talk to the ward. I have to be nice to him. See if I can bring my church out there and spend a day with me. I don't know what you think that would affect some of them. Look at that cell. Let them sit there and slide their tray under the door. God have mercy. God have mercy. Hey, look at Ephesians 1:19. Let's talk about something supernatural. Listen. We still talking about the resurrection because the resurrection is something supernatural. And see, we have to be resurrected. It says, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to upward? That's to us. His power. Not our power. His power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Okay? You think you can fight God's mighty power? I don't think so. Who's like, oh, I accept the Jesus Christ. You can't accept Jesus Christ. He is too powerful for you to accept. Your hands ain't big enough to accept Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ when I was... Well, listen, if you accepted him, you can reject him. Look what he's saying. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? That's what it took to raise Jesus from the dead. And that's what it's going to take to raise some of us out of our sin. His mighty power. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. When? When did he wrought it in Christ? When did he do this in Christ? When he raised him from the dead. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What Paul is saying here, the same power, that same wonder-working power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same greatness, that same great power has to be at work in the believer's life. Is it at work in your life? That's a good question. That's a good question. Is the supernatural power working in your life? Well, I can't deal with this. I can't stop doing this. Well, you're a child of God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got all this power. You got this wonderful power. You say you're a man of God. You say you're a woman of God. But I can't do this and I can't do that. The word of God said, you know, it said, say to the mountain. Mountain. Oh, we got mountains in our lives. And we don't speak to them. Oh, Mary was walking to the grave today. She never broke a stride.
All right.
She said, I got a stone, 5,000 pound stone.
Yeah.
is sealed with a Roman seal. It's got three Roman guards watching it. But you know, I got my spices, I got my ointment. She had a made up mind. So when she left that tomb, it was gonna be open. Oh, we got some tombs in our lives.
Yeah.
You know? Just put your hammer out. Get your hammer out. Get your little belt. Put your hammer on it. And just head to that thing. And start hitting on it. Just start hitting on it. Say, God, I'm hitting on this thing. And God, what's going to move? One more. Two more. Listen. The resurrection. Oh, this is good. Say the best for last.
Mm-hmm.
Is the basis of all our assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. His glory divine. Look at Romans chapter 8. See. Ain't nothing like having a good attorney. Ain't nothing like having a good attorney. Some of us have attorneys, we don't even use them, but we got a good one. We use them if we need them. But there's not an attorney like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the ultimate advocate for the people. And when you walk into a courtroom, and your attorney is who's representing you, and his daddy is the judge. Now, how do you lose? Talk about that. You committed a crime, and you got Jesus Christ as the attorney, and God is the judge. Now you walk in the courtroom, that prosecutor ain't got a chance because he don't see you. The judge don't see you if you're saved. He see the blood. He sees Jesus Christ. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ. Now, you call a case, and you sit before the judge, and he don't see Jesus Christ, you got a problem. Look at Romans. Watch this. This is a fantastic scripture. I love this one here. 33. Who? That's interesting. Who? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's a big old question mark behind that. Who can charge you with anything? That's a question mark. Think about that. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Are you God's elect? Are you God's elect? It is God that justifies. How about that? It is God that justifies. What does that word justify mean? Made right. That's what I said. Just as you have never sinned. How about that? You stand before the judge, God is your attorney, and you justified. God don't see sin. He sees his son's blood. He sees them nail-pierced hands. That's all he sees. Watch verse 34. Watch this. Who is he that condemneth? Who is that? Who charges you with sin? Who condemning you? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who maketh intercessions for who? For us. How about that? How about that? He's making intercessions for us. That means he is defending us. Oh, you can't get a better lawyer than that. They bring the charges. Oh, that's how they live. Boy, you should have seen them looking at them girls and looking at them movies and cussing and swearing and drinking. And the Lord is making intercessions for them. So I don't see that. I see the blood. I see my son. I see a man that loves the Lord. And the devil is just charging you up. Look at what he says in verse 35. You got all that going on. And he says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Or the sword? Nothing.
Nothing.
Shall separate us from the love of God. Listen to this. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You ever felt like that? You ever had a day like that? You feel like you've been killed all day long? Your loved ones is killing you. Your boss is killing you. Your church folk is killing you. All day long. Nay, verse 37. in all these things. How about that? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How about that? How about that? For I am persuaded, Paul said, I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. That word persuaded, I am totally convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to what?
Separate us
from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now you have that text when someone comes to you and say, you have lost your salvation. You have lost your mind. That's what you tell you. I lost my salvation. You lost your mind, because the word of God said nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Oh, they want to tell you lost your salvation. Just keep on walking. You know, you've been killed all day, and then that person walked to you. They'll kill you some more. Listen. As I close, I'm going to close. Last one. I thank God for giving you guys the patience. It's still early. Halftime show at the Super Bowl. Listen, look at this last one. Not only is it a basis of our assurance and the evidence of the supernatural, the forerunner of glory, it is the incentive to holiness. It is our incentive. The resurrection is our incentive to live holy. And just turn to Romans 6 real quick. We go just our last one, Romans 6, 1. This is just fascinating. And I know I say that about all the scriptures, but the scriptures is fascinating to me. All of them. Look what it says. We sang that song today. I just love that song. I won't go back, can't go back to the way it used to be. I had already wrote it down. I didn't know y'all were singing like that. Before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back, never going back to the way it was. Never going back, never going back, never going back, never going back. I just never going back. I don't like to look back. I've been healed, changed, delivered, forgiven. My past is over. I found joy, peace, grace, and favor. I am never going back. And that is what Paul is saying here in Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Listen, this next two words are just crazy. He says, God forbid. What he's saying here, the new nature and the new instinct that's found in that new nature is just nauseated at the thought of going back.
Yeah.
At the very thought of going back to the way we used to live, the mess we was in, the new nature is just sickened to the thought of that.
Yeah.
And he says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You have to get out of that mess. Get out of it. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus were baptized unto his death? What he's saying? Just like Jesus died and was buried and raised, when we came, God quickened us from our mess, and we buried us in the baptism, and we rose again to a newness of life.
Yes.
And the thought of going back ought to make you sick. The things we used to do. It ought to just give you chills. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. How was Christ raised up from the dead? By the glory of the Father. Even so we should walk in newness of life.
Yeah.
I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. I can't go back.
Yeah.
I won't go back. David, touch on that just a little bit for me, please. I won't go back. I'm done. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the finding it, Father. But Father, most of all, thank you for your assurance that the resurrection gave. Thank you for the supernatural experience that we all have experienced that are saved. Thank you for the hope that the resurrection gave us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, thank you for the guarantee of our faith. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for changing me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you, Father God, for healing me. Thank you for the peace, grace, and faith. Let's all stand as we sing our way out of the scripture today. Thank you, Lord. Have you been changed? Have you found joy or have you lost joy? Do you have peace in the situation that you find yourself in now? Do you have God's grace and His favor? The doors of the church are open. Today is the day. Has God's word spoken to you today? Are you going to leave here today and go back after hearing God's word? After hearing the truth of God's word, are you going to leave the presence of God and go back? Today, I know I'm not going back. What about you? The doors of this church are open. This time is not guaranteed. You may never hear the word of God again. This may be the last time that you have an opportunity on this side to ask God to do something supernatural with me. I'm in a mess. I'm in a bind. I need to be set free. If I die today, I don't know where I would go. The word of God said, you don't know where you're going to die today. Most likely you would be going to hell. You need to know. You need to know. You need to be resurrected today. Amen.